Знаете, да? Praise God. Well, it starts with something that happened to me as well. You know, on Good Friday, some of you went on the March of Witness, and it was interesting. But one thing happened on the way around, and I didn't tell anybody, but on the way around, there were a word kept coming to me, and the word was remnant. And it just kept going around, and I keep thinking, remnant, remnant. And then I started to think, well, yeah, why am I thinking about remnant? There's a handful of us here, 20, 30, walking around a place that has a population running into thousands. Are we a remnant? Are we a remnant? It just made me start thinking, because if you think of 30, I don't know how many thousands they are around intake, population-wise, but it must run into thousands. So what makes us a remnant? If we're a remnant, what makes us that? And I started to look at that word remnant. I like looking at words. I like delving into things a little bit. And remnant's a little bit like the word love. The word love has a span so wide, we use it in all sorts of ways now. And that remnant's a little bit like this. So I'm just going to give a few definitions of remnant, because this is important, because I believe we are an important remnant. Amen. And we need to get that identity. Amen. So, some things about remnant. Well, you start with that. It's something that's left over. If you've ever gone looking for a bit of carpet, you go round to the market or somewhere and you're looking for a leftover piece. You call it a remnant. So it's something that's left over. Or sometimes you've had a carpet fitted and there's bits left over. So it's that that remains. That's remnant. So it's the same sort of thing. Another definition is residue. Now, I think in terms of residue, what's left in your pan or your glass, it's a residue that's left. Right? But it's a remnant. You won't have it, you throw it away, but it's there. Another one is one who escapes. Somebody that escapes the enemy's clutches. Right? The remnant got away. Another one is a survivor. Now, to me, that's the one that wins the battle. The survivor is the one that comes through the other side. These are all remnants. These are all definitions of remnant. Another one is one loosed from bonds. You've been in prison and they escaped. They're set free. So you've got all these different definitions of remnant. And you look through the Bible and it occurs a few times, particularly about the children of Israel. There's a remnant comes through. But from that remnant, things happen. You see, when God talks about a remnant, he's talking about his plan. When a remnant's there, it's God's plan for that remnant. So in this day and age, That is what we're looking at, is remnants in terms of today. But if you just turn to Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 9, this is one of the instances about remnants. It says in Isaiah chapter 1 verse 9, it says, and this is the Amplified version. I'm going to read the Amplified because it gives a little bit extra. Except the Lord of hosts had left us a very small remnant of survivors, we should have been like Sodom and we should have been like Gomorrah. The remnant delivered from Sodom and Gomorrah. in that sort of situation. So the remnant is very important. The remnant can change things.
Amen.
They can change situations. So where is the remnant to be found today? God's got a remnant. God's always got a remnant. The seed is never totally lost. God would never lose his seed. He promised back to Abraham. He'll never lose his seed. So questions. Is it in the church that the world sees? Is the remnant the church that the world sees? To me, it isn't. Because the church is caught in the fashions of the day in many ways, and it's compromising. God doesn't compromise. He never compromises. We know that at times when we fail God, he forgives us, he picks us up and he sets us on the way. He's never compromised. He's forgiven us and cleansed us. But he never compromises. And the world of the church today is caught up in that world of compromise. God's word never changes. God never changes. His right is right and his wrong is wrong. Like I said the other week about the world has not got right and wrong. It's got what is acceptable and what is not acceptable, which is different because that's a moving platform. God's word never, never changes. Is it a specific denomination? You know, some say, oh, we've got it all right. We're the denomination that's got it all right. Well, no single denomination is going to have it all right. And if they've got that attitude, they've got the worst thing of all. They've got pride. Or is it the individual that the Lord sees across all the churches and all the denominations? It's the individual that's special to God, because that individual's heart is focused on looking at him. That individual might not be perfect, but that individual is focused on God. He's got his sight set. And that's the individual that God sees, and that's the individual that makes up the remnant. There's a fascinating scripture still in Isaiah, but in chapter 37. If you just turn to Isaiah chapter 37, if you've got it handy. And it's verse 31 and 32. There's a wonderful little bit of scripture here that really is a word picture. So it's talking about remnants again. It says in verse 31, it says, "And the surviving remnant of the house of Judah shall again take root downwards and bear fruit upwards." What a word picture that is. "For out of Jerusalem shall go forth a remnant, and out of Mount Zion survivors. The zeal of the Lord of hosts shall perform this." God's in the remnant. God's looking at the remnant. He's looking for the remnant for his church. And that picture of taking root downwards and bearing fruit upwards, I think that's a wonderful picture of the remnant of God. He's going to work the work. He's going to do it. He's going to perform it. It's not going to be man's effort that's going to do it, but it's God's remnant. There's another verse. Now we go to Micah. And Micah's always a little bit difficult to find. It's among the minor prophets. It's in the 1200 pages on mine. But it's Micah chapter 5 and verse 7. It says, then the... I'll tell you something about this chapter 5 as well. It's very significant, this Micah chapter 5, because if you look at verse 2, it's actually prophesying about the birth of Jesus. I'll just read you verse 2. It says, but as for you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you one will go forth for me to be ruler of Israel. His goings forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity. That was written some 700 or 800 years before Jesus came, before Jesus was born. But that's foretelling him. Look further down in that same chapter, down to verse 7. It says, then the remnant of Jacob will be among many peoples, like dew from the Lord, like showers on vegetation, which do not wait for man or delay for the sons of men. Listen to that. He says, we don't wait for man. We're not following man's plan. No. We're following God's plan. And it says, the remnant of Jacob will be among many peoples like dew from the Lord. That's what we're going to be like, dew falling down. If you're out in the evening when the dew's falling, you'll get wet. Because if it's falling on the grass, it'll land on you as well. You can't avoid it. And it says, it'll be like dew from the Lord. This is the effects of the remnant is going to be on the world. We've got to be like dew falling from the Lord. See, God only needs a remnant. He doesn't need a mighty army. Matthew chapter 24. So now we're in the New Testament. And Jesus is giving some warnings. Matthew chapter 24. I'm just picking extracts here. He says, in verse 4, it says, see to it that no one misleads you. See to it that no one misleads you. Verse 12, it says, and because lawlessness is increasing, most people's love will grow cold. We're in a lawless society. You know, I can remember as a child, people didn't have to lock the doors. They didn't even have to close the doors. They knew things were safe. Now we live in a lawless society. You put something down, it can go just like that. Verse 13, but the one who endures to the end, he shall be saved. God wants endurance from us. Even though we're a remnant, God wants us to stick with it. That word endures, there's a cross reference on that word endures to James chapter 1 verse 12. It says, blessed is a man who perseveres under trial. For once he has been approved, that's passed the test, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those that love him. We promised a crown of life if we stick with it, if we stick in with it. You know, we can look around, because if you think in the past, the remnants that they went through the minority culture, you know, we're the little ones, minority ones. And yet they survived, and the produced history. It was the remnants that produced the history. We see the nation of Israel going back. The remnant, they were decimated as a nation in the Second World War. We can't begin to understand what they went through, and they've gone back to the, forget about the politics of it all, but they were God's children, chosen people. And they went back as a nation, as a remnant, and they built a nation. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 15, 18, it says, Jesus is talking to Peter. He says, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter says, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And then in verse 18, Jesus said, and the Catholics have got it wrong, he says, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock," the rock is verse 16, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." That's the rock. He says, "I will build my church on that." He says, "And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." God will maintain a presence, a remnant, regardless of what history tries to do, regardless of what the enemy tries to do. And he will complete what he set out to do. And are we being, if we are the remnant, are we standing for the word of God? Are we standing for the complete word of God without compromise? Because unfortunately, some of the churches have lost it and losing it because they are not standing for the complete word of God. And the paying the price. The church denominations are trying to appease the world. And that's not how it works. That's not how God works. He's consistent and he's true. He doesn't change, even though the world will turn around and say, "Oh, the Bible's wrong, it's got it wrong." But they're the ones that have got it wrong, but they can't see that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13, it says, "Be on the alert, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. And let all that you do be done in love." We have to be on the alert because the world will tell you things that are not true. The Bible doesn't lie. And it's had the test of history. It's 2,000 years of history in here. And it's still as relevant today as it was then. It's still alive. It's still telling us what we need to know. In John chapter 8 and verse 31, Jesus said, "If you abide in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine." Abiding in his word means this word, his reality. Not the world's value of things. God's value. It says, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Another word for that free is liberated. Amen. You will be liberated by the truth. You will be bound by the world's truth, but you will be liberated by God's truth. If you go back to Elijah was one of the major prophets. Elijah got fearful. He went to hide. He was so frightened. And what happened to Elijah in 1 Kings is relayed by Paul in the book of Romans, chapter 11, verse 3 to 5. Elijah says to God, "They've killed the prophets and torn down your altars, and only I am left." And God says in verse 4, he says, "I have kept for myself 7,000 who haven't bowed to Baal." We sometimes have a perception of being few. We sometimes get that perception that we're the only ones, even in our own neighborhood. Elijah had the same thought. And God told him, "No, there's 7,000 that you don't know about that are mine." He said in verse 5, it says, "In the same way then, there has also come to be at the present time a remnant according to God's gracious..." That present time is present now. He says, "In the same way then, there has also come to be at the present time a remnant according to God's gracious choice. God's chosen a remnant is now, he's chosen that remnant. You and I can be part of that remnant. It's God's choice. When Jesus took the loaves and the fishes and gave them out, it was just a small bit. Five loaves, three fishes, or whatever it was. He fed the multitude. The remnant can do that. When God's got it in his hands, the remnant can feed the multitude. And that is what we need to see. Amen. That's why we're here. Amen. Because we have the potential in God to change things in the world. You know, that the world is trying to shut the doors on God. There's an agenda, and it comes from the pit. It comes from the pit of darkness. Like they said, when we were children, we went to some, we didn't know at the time, it was just a thing we did. We went to Sunday school, we went to church, we had school assemblies, we were taught religion, RE, and basically RE was Christianity. Now it's a multitude of religions and it's one subject among a load of others, if it is taught at all. So a lot has changed in the world. So what has changed? You know, we're 80 years on since the Second World War, when people signed up, went to war to fight for this nation, giving their lives. And one of the things that were put in their kit bags was the Bible. We were a nation of believers, and we've gone on a lazy trip. And the 1960s was a bad time. I grew up in the 1960s, and that's when the everything was let go in the 60s. It was a turning point for this nation, and not for the better. But if you go back to Joshua's statement, he said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And that hasn't changed. That hasn't changed. We have to be in that position where we're willing to serve the Lord. Don't know how or why. I mean, Ava surprises me at the number of opportunities she gets and she takes. But no matter how you do, you might be working somewhere, you might have contacts somewhere, or you might be doing something in the background that produces results. But however it is, all you need to do is be obedient to what God's saying. There's the man in the Gospel of Mark, where he brings his son to the disciples and they can't do anything. And then he brings him to Jesus and Jesus heals him. But the man says to Jesus, he says, and this is a King James version, he says, "Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief." If you look at the Amplified, it says, "Lord, I believe, constantly help my weakness of faith." And that's what we need to be praying. Lord, help my weakness of faith. I want to be in that remnant. I want to be part of that remnant. We might feel in the minority as far as the world's concerned, but we're in God's majority. If he's got a remnant, he's got something to do. He's got something to do, and he needs the remnant to do it. And what all we need to do is just be willing and available, and to see where he's taking us. It was a witness round this place which put a smile on a few faces, because the beating drum was a bit strange, but the thing was that we gathered together in unity. I think probably half of those there were probably from here. But I mean, that wasn't the point. The point was that we have a desire to be the remnant that God will use, as individuals, as collective, or whatever. And God's word is not changing. And if you look through the times that God has used a remnant to change directions, and things that are so seemingly impossible, God has performed it because he's had a willing remnant. And that's who we are. We should be. With all our imperfections, with all our weaknesses or whatever, God does not stop using us. He looks for the willing heart. Not for the degree, not for the qualifications, not for the piousness or anything. He looks for the reality. Where's your heart? Where's your heart? And from that, he's got something to work with. He's got the clay he needs to mould. And if we can hold still, hold fast, hold firm through whatever the world is trying to throw, God's going to come through with his remnant. And if we're in the right place, we're going to be part of that remnant, and we're going to see things happening. Even in this area, you know, we don't know what God is going to do, but we do know that we want to be in God's army. We want to be there. You're here because that's where you want to be. And praise God, we're on the journey together. Praise God. Amen. Good job, it was only a short one, wasn't it? Just today. Hallelujah. Praise God.